Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does. And I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Now smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to Reading the Newberries, a Team Friendship podcast. This is our 2019 Year in Review episode. We are going to discuss many different subjects, but just an overview of some of our favorite books this year, some of our favorite Newberry books, some of our least favorite books. Stay tuned. That's always the good part, right? Where you're saying how disgruntled you are with your reading life. I am Leah, and I'm joined by my fellow podcasters, Lauren.
Hello, friends.
And Mandalay.
What up, friends?
Are you guys so excited to dive in to all of this year in review?
I've goodness. Never been more excited in my life for something.
We actually got a lot more listener feedback, I think, than we got in the past year. So
I think we did too.
Right? I feel like we did.
I was actually really impressed.
So that's a moment of growth for our podcast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've appreciated our listeners.
How long have we been doing this? 2 years? 3 years?
More than that. Since we were living in New York, so that would have been...
I think we started the fall of 2016.
Mm, yeah, I think so.
So we've been doing it for about 3 years. Yeah.
Wow.
It's been fun.
And we're still going. Like, I think other folks might have given up by now.
Not us. We persevere.
Because we're not like, I don't know, like we're not like crazy hardcore. Like, we just do it because we like being together and hanging out.
We
like,
love we're not you, like, listeners, but even without you.
Yeah, we probably crazy. Would still do this.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yes, we like you guys.
We wish, you know, we could all just get together and record
yes.
your answers to these. But yeah. Since we can't, we'll read them.
We will read them.
All right. Should we start with our favorite books that we have read in 2019?
Yes.
Mandy.
Oh, and first?
Yes. Hit us with what you have.
Or you could read a listener comment first.
Dealer's choice.
That's how Lauren tells you what she would like.
I'm just
to
saying,
do
like,
first,
if you were like, oh, I don't know what to say.
Way.
That's
She's
not what
leaving
I meant.
Room.
I just like know what I meant.
To be creative.
I will read a comment. Emily says, Sarah and Liz and I have a lot of book overlap. I was also on a Francine Rivers kick this year, too. My favorite of hers was probably The Scarlet Thread. A close second favorite was Educated. I do agree that's been a book mulled over in my brain often. My all-time favorite of the year was The Boys in the Boat. I love stories of perseverance. It is amazing to me what some people did in spite of such hardships. The Great Depression, World War II, it's just amazing to me. I agree, Emily.
Yes.
I have not read anything that you just listed, though.
No, but the, let's see, Educated and The Boys in the Boat are both on my list. But because I'm a sensitive soul, I'm waiting for the right time to read them.
I haven't read Boys in the Boat, but I did read Educated, and it definitely needs to be read at the right time. There's a lot of... abuse, physical and mental. So if you're not in the place to read that, then don't, because it's well written. So I felt like I was there with her. So it's one of those books that you've got to be ready for.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
And I think The Boys in the Boat, I think there's a young reader's version of that, too.
Oh, I like it when they do that.
It's nice of them to do that stuff
helps me.
Like that.
Yes. I'm a young reader.
I can read my other comment here, too. One of my favorites.
Maybe you should tell who that is.
Srelison.
That's how Mandy has decided to say your name, Srelison.
Srelison 7 says, one of my favorites is The Brother Band Chronicles. I've never heard of that.
Sounds like it would be interesting, though.
Have any of you heard of it?
Anything with chronicles in it.
That means that usually means good. There's more than one.
Right.
And I'm a really big fan of series.
Yeah.
Because they look good on my bookshelf.
Exactly. That's really what it's about. So what about you, Mandy?
My favorite books that I read this year were Caravelle, which people have probably...
That's a popular series.
It is very popular. It is a YA series.
Okay.
In keeping with my favorite genre.
Can you, maybe briefly summarize what it's about? If not, that's okay. I can go to Goodreads and look it up. I've seen so much of it, but I don't know what it's about.
It's sort of, it has a very circusy, dark feel to it. I guess I can't really say it's Hunger Games-like, but, she is playing a game. She's trying to find her sister.
Okay.
And that's what the whole thing is based around. This guy that he has this game that you do, but you're, a part of the game. You actually play the game, but it's not real, but... Or is it?
Oh, one of those types.
I like stuff like that.
Okay, yes. Cool.
So, there's some love dusted in there. And
of course, it's YA.
You have to. It was really exciting. I blew through it, which...
Okay, that's pretty good for you.
I also enjoyed, and I believe Leah bought this one for me. It was on my list, The Train to Impossible Places.
I did.
And that is a children's book. And it was just really fun. It was like an adventure, like the Phantom Toll Booth.
Okay.
Or there was something else it reminded me of. But yeah, she's just on this train and trying to save the day.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, for my favorites, I'll start with mine and then I'll read some of our listeners. So I picked three from three different categories. I really enjoyed A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith. That was one of my earlier reads from this year, but it's definitely stuck with me. And it was one of those I didn't want to put down. It's kind of a coming of age story, a classic. If you don't know what it's about, head to Goodreads. But I highly recommend it. And then my second one is actually a nonfiction, but it read like a fiction. And Lauren can chime in on this one as well. But it's Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb. Yes. I loved that book. It's written from the perspective of a therapist, and she talks about her own therapy and then also some of her patients. Obviously, she changes names and descriptive things, so they
haven't finished
can have privacy,
it yet, but I've enjoyed what I've read.
It's very good.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites from this year. And yeah, just really, really a good book, and I didn't want it to end.
Right. And I did the audiobook for that one, which I would also highly recommend. It's very well done. And then my third category is more of a spiritual growth kind of category. And the book I enjoyed was Side by Side by Ed Welch. And I kind of picked this one out of a group of books that I have read on this same topic. But it's just about how you can go through trials or hardships with other people, especially in the context of the church. This book I liked because it was more practical. So it's not about giving platitudes, but it's more about just be there. Just sit with someone. You don't have to make it better. You don't have to know what to say. You just need to be there. And also learning how to break down some of those walls so that you can be there when something hard happens. Because a lot of that comes from before there's a tragedy. If you already feel comfortable with someone, it's easier to just go and sit with them. So he talks a lot about how to have good conversations with people and get past the hi, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Okay, bye. And then how you can let someone know that you truly do care. You really do want to know how they're doing.
Right.
Because sometimes you can tell when someone doesn't really want to know how you're doing. Anyway, so I really enjoyed this one. And then if you're interested in that, I have a couple others I could recommend. But those were my three favorites. And then we heard from some of our faithful listeners. So Emily referenced Liz and Sarah, so I'm reading their two answers. Liz said that her favorite author this year was Francine Rivers, and she read three of her books, but her favorite was her newest book, The Masterpiece. She said, I love how she can capture the struggle between the flesh and the spirit that all Christians experience. And I have read a few of hers. They're very well written. I struggle with Christian fiction sometimes, but her books, I thoroughly enjoyed. They're just... they're captivating, I guess. I don't know how to best describe them, but I enjoyed them. And then Sarah says, the first book that popped into mind when I read this post was Educated by Tara Westover. It is not a warm, fuzzy read. That is very true. It is actually quite disturbing, but is also the book that I've mulled over in my mind the most throughout the year. Lauren, what do you have for us?
Okay, so Leah already mentioned maybe you should talk to someone. That was definitely at the top of my list for this past year. At the beginning of the year, I read a book called Lilac Girls by Martha Hall Kelly. We've talked about a lot of these books already. So
that's all right. Now we know this was one of your top ones.
Yeah, I really liked it. Again, I've mentioned this before. I tend to be a very sensitive person. So some books that are like on harder topics, I tend to stay away from. But this is set during World War II, and it talks about the only all-female concentration camp, and just kind of, it takes the perspective of three different women. One of them is an American, one of them is one of the girls in the camp, and then the other one is one of the German doctors in this camp. And the book is historical fiction, but two of the women in the book are actually real people. Mm. And Martha Hall Kelly did a lot of research for this book. And it's very well written. Yes, it's hard. But what I was telling my husband, what I love about this book is I think oftentimes when you're reading books or even like movies about World War II, or really anything hard and horrific, I get really frustrated and annoyed and really saddened when the horrific events are glorified. And it's just, they're just showing more or talking more about it for entertainment, mm-hmm. instead of just telling you this is how it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I know you need to share some things to help people understand what happened, but I think there's a point where you can take it too far and now you're glorifying this, mm-hmm. and it's become entertaining. And I don't think that that's okay.
Yes. And I think what I've seen, especially for World War II, is that they remove some of the humanity of it,
yeah.
and just make it this amazing, almost like a warrior tale, or yeah. when they talk about the boys fighting, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they totally neglect how horrifying it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a fun, brave Hollywood event.
This is a very sad time in history.
They were clearly brave.
Yeah.
But also they were scared.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Mm-hmm. And they just make it seem like they were unaffected.
Yeah. And another thing I appreciated about this book was that it brought to light something that I had never learned about and I didn't know about. Like, these women were experimented on. But I also love that at the end of the book, there's redemption.
Right.
And it's cool that it's true. It's a true story, you know, like, it is historical fiction, but everything that she writes, like, happened. Right. And so.
Yeah. The fiction is mainly to fill out the story. Yeah. But the basic storyline is all based on fact.
Yeah. So I really liked it. I did listen to it on audio based on a recommendation from a friend. And so there's three different narrators and they do a very, very good job. If you're going to listen to this, do not listen to, either put your earbuds in or listen to it when you don't have little ears around, because there's some swearing, not a lot, but it's just some hard topics. So Martha Hall Kelly also wrote another book, and this is all part of it's going to be part of a series. It's called Lost Roses, and that came out this year. And so this book is kind of a prequel to Lilac Girls, and it focuses on one of the women from Lilac Girls. It focuses on her mom, and it's during World War I. And this book focuses on the revolution in Russia.
Yeah.
And again, it was something I don't really remember learning about in school, about how the aristocrats in Russia were all like killed or murdered or captured. Like, they were basically mm-hmm. like dethroned or whatever. Yep. And so all the commoners were like, not all of them, but a lot of them were like revolting and rising up and doing these terrible things to these people because they were aristocrats. And so
obviously that it's a complicated situation, but it just again shows the horrific things that happened during that time. And again, there's some redemption at the end too. And she's planning to write a third book in this series. I'm not sure what the title is going to be, but it will be during the Civil War, I believe.
Ooh, in America.
And the women, these American women that she's kind of basing these stories on, were real women.
Right.
I don't know. It's really cool. And you can tell she does research. And I like at the end of at least these two books, at the end of both books, she tells you about the research she's done and where you can go to learn more. So very cool. So my other favorite ones were, A Curse So Dark and Lonely. I really liked that book. This is by Brigitte Kemmerer. And it is a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. She's just a really good author. So, and it's YA. So it's going to have YA stuff in it.
and it is like a YA.
Yes. it is going to be a series. I'm not sure when the next book comes out, but it is going to be, I'm guessing, 2020 sometime. So
probably in the fall.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. If you haven't read any of her books, I read another book of hers called Letters to the Lost. And that book was really, really good. Her books just suck you in from page one.
Nice.
And I love books like that, especially if you're like in a reading rut, like that's a really good way to get out of it is find those books that just from page one, you're like, I need to know what's going to happen. So, and last one, I really enjoyed Where'd You Go, Bernadette.
That's a good one.
It was funny. It was heartwarming. And I did that one on audiobook and very, very good job. So, and they made a movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did you feel about the movie?
I really liked the movie. The book is written like, it's almost like letters, like emails, text messages. It's more
based on correspondence and not actually face to face.
I thought the book was really good. And there was a part in the book that I didn't like. And they did not put it in the movie. And I'm really glad that they didn't.
Yeah.
So... because I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
So, and it made me mad. So, they didn't include it in the movie. I'm not really sure why. Maybe because it was dumb. But yeah, the movie's really good. Cate Blanchett.
She did really well.
I think she's been nominated for some type of Oscar or Golden Globe or something for her role in that movie. So,
she did a really great job. I've not seen her play that many characters, but this seems like... not her normal thing. I don't know. She just did a really good job.
I mean, I've seen her in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, she's Galadriel. So obviously, she's this so quirky is way and different. Fun. Yeah, yes. This is way different than Galadriel. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a fun read and a fun movie. So check those out.
I like how they did her narration of her letter, like her emails. I'm liking this. So we also, my husband and I just recently watched The Martian movie, which is also based on a book, which also has a lot of like personal correspondence or just him like journaling. And I like this new, like with the new technology that they can just speak their letters or whatever into the computer.
Yeah.
I think it makes the movies a lot more interesting because you actually get to hear what's going on in their head, which is so hard to convey in a movie.
Yeah.
But it makes it a little bit easier for them.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking, because you've got mail that's done where they are corresponding to each other. And I remember
just has to, like, talk out.
Yeah. I remember watching like the behind or listening to like a behind the scenes thing on that. And the Nora Ephron said she was really scared that people were going to get bored by all of the voiceover. Yeah. But I think that movie is the best movie of all time. So
we got off track. Best movie of 2019.
You got mail. Oh, goodness. All right, I'll read my listener feedback. Do. All right, Samantha on Facebook says, I definitely loved the last four books in the Throne of Glass series by Sarah J. Maas. That's another popular one that I haven't read.
I've been meaning to check that out.
I feel like if anyone would have it be you, Mandy.
Yeah.
I feel like I was on the hunt for the first one recently and I couldn't find it and I didn't want to drive up anywhere That's else. Fine. And I'm really good at that, okay?
She says, I love the Cormoran Strike series by Robert Galbraith, which if you're not familiar, that is actually J.K. Rowling writing under a pseudonym.
I always forget what her pseudonym is. Mm-hmm. It always surprises me every time.
I think those are like mystery crime, solving a crime.
Yeah, I think so.
They are that not for children.
No, they're not kids books.
They'll be like, oh, it's a Harry Potter author. It's not for children. She says, I also enjoyed The Power of Naomi Alderman. And she says, all those books fell within a 4 to 5 star rating. So awesome. I might have to put some of those on my to-be-read list. Daphne on Facebook says, Circe, hands down, which that, I think I have that on my to-be-read list. And then she says, I also enjoyed The Chain.
A couple more from our listeners, or at least Instagram watchers. Currently reading podcast says, only one, I refuse. Thank you.
I feel like if you want to know her favorites, yeah, then go check out the podcast.
And then Smiley8752 says, In Her Shoes was her favorite for the year.
Reading in the middle grades also said, oh, so many, but The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise has stuck with me all year. And that's also one that has been on my to-read list. And I think it could be a contender for the Newbery, right?
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I would also like to read. The cover is just gorgeous. So, and like, when you read intriguing.
The description, it just sounds like Newbery material.
So. I just need to check that out. I need something new to read that.
Yep.
I have like 10 books right now, and I don't want to read any of them. It's fine.
All right. Moving on to least favorite books of 2019.
Dun, dun, yes. Da! So I will get us kicked off. That's not right.
Just going to get us kicked off.
I'll start us off.
It ended so fast, guys.
My least favorite book was Evie Drake Starts Over. And it's, I just want to say, it's hard for me to have a least favorite because if I don't like something, I usually just put it down.
Yeah.
But this one, I felt like, oh, it's going to get better. And so I just kept, I listened to it on audiobook. And the audiobook was well done. It was just a little bit too romance for me. And I think I came to that one because we had just read, what is that other one that was? One that, oh, The Bookish Life of Nina Hill.
Oh, yes.
So I had just read The Bookish Life of Nina Hill, which is a kind of a romance. It's romance, I think. But it was just less romance. I enjoyed it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was more focused on her story. Yes. And then there was romance added. Yes. It wasn't like, about the romance. Yeah.
How can romance like make her life better? It was like, how can she get on the right path? And also there's romance.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I was coming off of. And then I read Evie Drake Starts Over and it was just not what I wanted. So it might be for you if you like romance. It was well written, but it just wasn't my style.
I've not read that one, but I've heard that from other people too.
Yeah.
That they didn't like it.
Yes. So one of our listeners says, Emily Gillingham says, I listened to Me Before You by JoJo Moyes. The book wasn't bad until the end, then I absolutely hated it. Which I've only seen the movie, but I can imagine why you would have hated it.
So my least favorite, I'll read my listener comment first. So Daphne on Facebook says, unpopular opinion. I did not care for Ask Again Yes or The Gone Dead. I'm not familiar with The Gone Dead. Are either of you? Okay. I am familiar with Ask Again Yes because that is also my least favorite read of 2019. And I just want to say the book was very well written. I don't think I've ever read a book written the way that this one was written. And so those of you who haven't read it are probably wondering, well, how was it written, Lauren? Now I'm thinking, I don't really know how to describe this. Okay, so it's about, I would say, one of those generational stories. Like, it starts off with the parents, and then the kids grow up, and they have their story, too. It's about these two families and their next-door neighbors. And the dads are both police officers, and so they work together. So the kids in the family, there's a son from one of the families and a daughter from the other family, and they are like best friends growing up. And so it kind of talks about their relationship too. But like each chapter is written from the perspective of one of what, like a different person. So I think one of the dads
has his story. And anyway, it's multiple people have their own perspective, and it kind of jumps around on the timeline. Like sometimes there's flashbacks, sometimes you're present, sometimes you're now you're going into the future. So I guess that's what I mean when I've never read a book like that. I don't think I've ever read one of these multi-generational stories before, and I know those are pretty popular, so it was my first one. But the reason that I didn't like this book, it has nothing to do with how it was written or even the content. I just think I read it at a time in my life where maybe I wasn't ready to read it, because it's a hard story. It's not a happy story. I would even argue that the ending isn't happy. It's just not a happy story. And at the time when I read it, I like happy stories. So, but Leah, you read it and you liked it.
I liked it. I didn't need it, you know, to have a pretty wrapped up ending. Mm-hmm. But I could see if you were not really feeling a depressing story, you wouldn't have enjoyed it.
Very depressing.
I'm trying to think. There was another book I read that I felt like was written in the same way, and I'm having a hard time finding it.
I did appreciate the realness of the book. Like, nothing is sugar-coated. It just kind of told it, like, life sucks.
Which is why I liked it, because yeah. I hate things that are pretentious and fake about life. And I felt like this did a good job of just presenting some of the, obviously it's a little extreme, but some of the realities of life and the mm-hmm. things sometimes...
Yeah, sometimes things don't ever get fixed or whatever. And that's just how it is. So I think I just read it at a time where I just wasn't feeling that, because I do appreciate stuff like that. But I also appreciate stories where I can escape and go to something that's not reality, because I don't like my reality right now. And so I want to live in a fantasy right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like, this is not the book for that.
Yeah. So... Yes, definitely an unpopular opinion, because the book was super popular. It was Jimmy Fallon's read of the summer. So.
Oh, okay. I know. It was one of these two Celestine books. It's either Everything I Ever Told You or Little Fires Everywhere. Her writing style, I feel like, is similar.
She does like that multi-generational. Yeah,
and like flashback. Like, okay. You start with the end and then you've got to figure out how they ended up there.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I think, and I really liked those books. So I think that's why I liked this one. I like that style.
Mandy, do you have a least favorite read of the year?
I do.
Oh, okay.
The Train to Impossible Places.
What?
Isn't that your most favorite?
And you might be asking yourselves right now.
Wow, Mandy.
And here's why. Because I was able to finish it. It was a good book. It was a fun story. But it kind of felt like... a little unorganized, like it could be a little bit like tighter with the story. Yeah. And so it kind of made me feel slightly let down when I finished it.
I should have.
Like I needed a little bit more magic. But at the same time, I loved it. But at the same time, it upset me.
Do you think maybe it's because it was a children? Is it like a middle grade book? And maybe that's partly why sometimes... Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out.
I'm just saying, if you're writing a book that big for children, there better be magic in there. I mean, there was magic.
But not enough.
David, the bibliomaniac, says Illumine by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff. Which I just looked this book up, and that's disappointing to hear, because like looking at it and reading like what it is, like, you would think it'd be really cool. It's like it's a YA space opera. And it's written, like, in a series of, like, classified documents and censored emails and interviews. Like, that sounds cool to me. But David says he disliked it.
All right, is that it? Is that it for that one?
Yeah, I think we get to go on to which Newbery was your favorite that we read in 2019.
My favorite was Mercy Suarez Changes Gears by Meg Medina. I really enjoyed that book.
It's like
like third grade book report.
I know. I really enjoyed that book because she had a bike. And I really like bikes and I like to ride my bike a lot.
And I really, yeah.
Go, no, it was a good book. Yes. Okay, there it is. It was a good book.
It was a good book.
It's well written.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Mandy, what was your favorite and also listener feedback?
Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry, as well as Mercy Suarez. I couldn't, like, it's split down the middle.
It's hard. They're two different genres.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Is they're two different, like, it's a whole different world, and they're both just.
Yeah.
I agree.
Very
I
good.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
They're so good. And Sarah agrees with me, and she was my English teacher, and so that's all that matters.
Well, read her comment. Yes.
She says, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry, any other answer is wrong. I loved it that much. I feel as if it is a book that everyone should read at some point.
And I agree with her. It is a book everyone should read.
Srellison also agrees, as well as David. But isn't that his wife that he has?
No, his daughter.
His daughter, that she enjoyed it. So, and we only have one Mercy Suarez on the board. So,
yeah, so. According to listener feedback, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry was the winner.
It depends on what you're looking for, I guess.
I feel like it was probably the better book. I feel like Mercy Suarez had just as many helpful.
Yeah.
I just feel like Roll of Thunder is important for kids to read to understand that part of history.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Mercy Suarez is helpful for kids in processing real life emotions and
they're both kind of like
dealing with like an elderly family member going through illness
and different things like that. It's bullying and different things like that. And I think she handles those things very well in that book. So yeah, it's kind of like different categories. I would agree.
But yet also both teaching kids how to deal
with
difficulty.
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Like, it deals with difficulties. It teaches kids a lot. It's just different aspects of life. And Gregory agrees with me. Mercy Suarez.
All right, guys. Least favorite Newbery book that we read this year. And Mandy, you are to go first.
The answer is... The Grey King.
Whoa.
Picked that one, Mandy.
I know.
Why was that one your least favorite?
I just think, it's a year in review. So looking back, I think out of all of the ones that we read, it was just the most, like, disappointing.
It's all about expectations. You had high hopes for that one.
I did have high hopes for it. And when we said it all throughout the episode, it seemed like it would have been good had it not been, book 4 or 3 or whatever it was. Or maybe it wouldn't have been good even with more info. But it was just, felt like I was on an adventure I didn't know enough about.
I get that.
So my least favorite, it was also a book I picked myself, Trumpeter of Krakow.
I forgot about this.
Did not like that book. I didn't even have that high of hopes because it was one of our older book episodes. So I always kind of go into that just expecting to not like it or just not enjoy it as much as I do. It was just disappointing in so many levels. But like the first thing that happens is the trumpeter dies. So where do you go from there? I don't know. And it could have been good, too. I feel like it could have been good. It had some, like, magical elements and some exciting moments, but it was very scattered, and I felt like the storyline was going down, like, 5 paths at once, and it just didn't...
She gets it.
It didn't work for me.
It needed more
it
magic.
It needed more magic.
Was this also your favorite Newbery?
Surprisingly... Also my most favorite Newbery. I mean, I will say I did learn a lot about the Trumpeter of Krakow because that is like an actual historical, it's more like a myth, but.
I was going to say it seemed very mysterious.
Poland definitely embraces the idea of the Trumpeter of Krakow and they still play the little ditty and everything. Anyway, Lauren, hit us with your least favorite.
Miley's favorite is the Grey King, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody, because when we recorded that episode, I think several times I said this book is the worst or something like that. You were
not very open-minded about that one.
And my reasoning was, I think it had to do maybe because it was not the first book in the series, right. So I did feel a little bit of that confusion about what was going on. But probably the main thing for me was there was so much description of the landscape. Yeah. And I understand, like, why there was, because, like, it's important, I think, to the story. But I just was just like, I can't even anymore. I can't.
Well, and the author, like, that was his, like, summer home, was that area. Yeah.
So he
was very nostalgic and spoke of it fondly.
But here's the thing. With all that description, I still didn't in my head know what it looked like. Does that make sense?
I mean, I had my own little setup.
I know that I have trouble visualizing things. So anyway, I do really well when I can see like a diagram or an illustration of something. I love those books that have the maps at the beginning. Like, that's very helpful for me. And I feel like this book needed that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it did have that and I just don't remember it. Do you guys remember it having a map?
And this one, I think this is the one that all of the like important action took place, and I didn't really even realize it had happened or what it meant. Like, all of a sudden there were just scary fighting scenes and I had no idea where they came from.
I just got real frustrated with what was going on.
Maybe the problem is us. Did you ever think about that?
Maybe we just can't.
No, I understand. Like, the reader brings something to the book.
That's true.
You know, you really do. So just, you know, like, Leah liked one book that I didn't like. Like, we both brought our own whatever it is to the book. And that really does affect how you read a book.
It's true.
I don't know what I brought to this book that made me not like
it. I don't know either. It's the thing that you and I have
the
same least favorite book. I would have never.
I didn't think you guys would be surprised, because I
wasn't.
I was very vocal about how much I didn't like the book.
I was always on the fence, I think.
Was there, we didn't ask this, but, and if you guys don't want to talk about it, that's fine. Was there a book we read this year that maybe going into it you thought you weren't going to like and you ended up surprisingly liking it?
So I actually, you guys are going to be shocked, but I think I would actually say The Grey King.
Whoa.
Wait, for what?
For books that we didn't think we would like, but we actually did. I was apparently just in the place to enjoy a descriptive. I think I was watching a lot of like BBC shows that are set out in the countryside of, I don't know, where was this one set? Wales or something?
Yeah, it was Welsh.
So that part of it was almost soothing for me. I'm trying to think what else we read this year.
For me, it was one of the, when we each took one of those older books, for me, it was the 21 Balloons.
Yes, you got like, way into that.
I did. I got super into it. Like, still to this day, I will never, ever forget the 21 Balloons. And when people bring it up, I'm like, Krakatoa!
Wow.
Okay, how close are you to meeting your 2019 reading goal, or have you already met your goal?
I am not very close to my reading goal. I was super ambitious because I spent a lot of time listening to audiobooks at the end of last year and got quite a few in. So I thought for sure I could double my reading goal for this year. That did not happen. So my goal was 100 and I'm at 55. I'll probably hit, if I'm being generous with myself, I might hit 57 before the year's over. It's just, life has been a little bit crazy. So reading, for some reason, has gone to the back burner, which sometimes is the case and sometimes it's not. But I also have a new show I'm watching, so.
Right? We go through these seasons, you know, where you're reading more or you're binge watching.
I'm still listening to audiobooks, but lately, if I've had any free time, which I haven't had a lot, but if I've had any when I've been home, I've just not felt like engaging my brain. Right. So yeah, I'm not going to reach my goal, and I thought I would be more disappointed by that, but I looked back through the books that I've read, and because if I don't like a book, I put it down. All the books on my list are just, they're books that have made an impact on my life, and I could think about them and think about something I've learned from each one of them. And I definitely don't regret that. And I wouldn't have want to rush through those or read something else that would have been quicker to give up those, because some of them took me a long time to get through, but I'm thankful for them. So I feel like I've grown, you know?
Yeah. And I was thinking about this. I wonder if maybe, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I think I'm always going to have like a number for a goal. But I think instead of having a number goal, maybe have like a different type of goal for yourself when it comes to reading for the year. And, you know, I know some people are like, well, I want to read more nonfiction, or I want to read more of this genre. I want to read more books with a author of color. Right. So just different kind of goals like that. Or maybe you want to read more books with someone.
Yeah,
like maybe you want to read in community or something like that. So I don't know. I've kind of, just where I am in my life right now, I'm kind of gravitating more toward those type of goals. So I haven't set a 2020 goal yet, but we'll let you know when we do.
Yeah. And I think too, for a bit, I needed that numbers reading goal because I hadn't been reading faithfully for quite a few years. And so I needed to push myself to realize what I could read. So 55 books is not a small number. Like,
yeah,
absolutely. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah, wait till it's my turn.
I mean, it's fine. Whatever people read, like, you read this year, that's great. But I think I needed to do that for a while. And now I think I'm at the place that I can let off a little and then just enjoy reading some different genres or whatever. So we also had some listener response for this. Lori Bowe says, this was the first year I've set a reading goal and it was 12 books. Set the bar low, I know. Obviously, I've never actually kept track of how many books I read in a year because I'll be pushing 50 books total by December's end. I don't feel like I've read more than any other past years. I must have way too much free time on my hands. Or I'm lazy and just like to sit and read. Either way, it's been a great book year.
Way to go, Lori.
And I do not think sitting and reading is laziness.
No, absolutely not.
So good job, Lori. Proud of you. Samantha says she met her goal. She challenged herself to read 130 books.
Whoa.
And she completed her goal by November 27th. That's amazing. She's read 5 books past her goal, and she might be able to reach her highest number, which is 140 by the end of the year. Fingers crossed.
Way to go, Samantha.
I am so proud of you, Samantha. You're an inspiration.
I'm impressed by people that can do that, like just read so many books. I am not a fast reader, so I will never reach that, but I just think that's cool.
It is cool.
I'm just impressed by that. So way to go, Samantha.
See, Liz says she's at 48 of 40. She is into Little Women now, and she won't finish it before the new year, most likely. So that is a far cry from her 85 that she read last year, but she's had a hard time finding new books to read after finishing one that's captivated me.
Yes, I feel that. I am 4 books away from meeting my goal. I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Two applause here.
So my goal for this year was 50, and I've read 46. I'm currently reading 1 book, so I might finish that one.
Just read a couple of Nora's books.
I know. And sometimes, like, I just full disclosure, sometimes I do put picture books on my list. I think I have a few because if I have read them with her and I think, wow, this was actually very good, I add it to my list.
Yeah, it's helpful for other people too.
I'm not opposed to doing stuff like that. So, and I'm kind of like you, Leah. Like, if I don't hit my goal, I'm okay with it. Yeah. I'm just, it's... And I think we'll get into this in one of our next topics, but I'm happy with my reading life this year. I'll just leave it at that.
I'm so glad. That's a good place to be.
So Shannon on Facebook says she's 4 books away. She says, I'm just hoping to unpack my house before Christmas.
Aww, yeah, I get that,
Shannon. But that's awesome. Daphne says, I started including the larger chapter books I read with my kids, so I beat my original goal. Excluding those, I'm 1 short, but should hit it next week. So awesome,
Daphne. You include those, Daphne. Don't feel like you have to exclude them. They count.
Emily says, I set my bar kind of low too, 30. I'm at 37 right now. I'm hoping to break 40 before the end of the month. I do use audio to help me She says, quote unquote, read when I need to get something done, LOL. I just want to say audiobooks count
they
as reading.
They totally count. So. They work your brain the same way. Yeah. And they count.
Yeah.
So that's how I got 55 books in this year. All right, Mandy.
I am three away of 12.
Just read some like picture books or something. We've already determined they count.
But I also would really like one of them to be my nemesis. But it keeps falling down underneath my bed when I fall asleep.
Oh, the Christmas A Christmas Carol. Carol? I don't think this is the year.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Also, we'll why see. I'm okay with not meeting my goal.
We'll find out. Pushmang. Just finished 100-100. Nice. That's a solid number.
Yes. Wait, I'm just, again, impressed. I know. Like, the 100 and above, I'm just super impressed.
I feel like I've been reading nonstop to get 55 done.
Yeah.
Obviously, I haven't, but...
Last year I did 75, and that was really hard for me. Yeah. That's why this year I just did 50.
Yeah, because it should be enjoyable.
Right, it was stressful. It was like, oh, I've got to get it.
We don't actually get paid for reading these books.
It'd be different if we did. Maybe I could do 100.
Right? These numbers are insane. Reading in the middle grades, I've read 171 this year. My goal was 100.
That's well done.
Well done reading in the middle grades.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that.
77 of 60 right now. I've never done a reading goal before, so I'm really excited about.
She really.
Elena reads a lot.
Right, reads a lot. And she reads quickly.
She's like 2 books a week.
Yeah, which is impressive. I cannot do that.
I'm about a sentence a week.
It usually takes me at least 2 weeks to get through a book, if not longer. Because I'm just, again, I'm not a fast reader. If it's a super good book, I'll read it in 2 days. But
those are rare.
I haven't had that since Twilight. And I'm not ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. We all bring something to the books we read.
Wow.
Okay, are we done with this?
Yeah, we are going on to what books or bookish items are on your Christmas wish list.
So on Amazon, I have, you know, you can have your wish list and you can share it with people. So this year, I have a separate list just for books.
She does.
Of course you do.
She has several separate lists for different things.
Well, I did this for a few reasons. One is because sometimes I go into a bookstore. We don't have a lot of bookstores around here.
It's true.
So when we're out of town, and I see a bookstore, I'm like, oh, I gotta go in. So I go in and then I'm like just super overwhelmed by all the books. And I'm like, what books do I want? And so now I have a list that I can refer to if I'm in a bookstore. And
it is a good idea. I understand the feeling.
So I'm not going to read all the books on my list because you guys don't want to listen to that.
I'll so just we start with.
Yeah. I'll just read a few.
I'll just read the first 25.
So one of the books is called Why We Sleep, Unlocking the Power of Sleep and Dreams.
Yes. Still trying to get through that one.
Here's why this book is on my wish list to own is because I've gotten it now, I think, the physical book I've gotten twice from the library. This book is very popular. It is. And so I've had to wait on the hold list. Yeah. And so then it comes in, but I'm like in the middle of reading something else. And so I'm like, okay, what? Since it's on the hold list, you can't renew it because somebody else wants it. And so I had to take it back. And then
you got to get back on the list.
Yeah, then you got to wait your turn again. And so then I thought, well, maybe I'll do the audio. And then I had to wait in line for that. Finally got it. And then I was just like, this book has like charts and stuff in it. I need to look at those charts. I cannot do the audio for this.
I did run into that because I have been trying to do the audio, but same, like they keep taking it away from me. Yeah. Makes me really upset. And
then so I can't then sleep at night. I got the physical book again about 3 weeks ago. And I didn't start reading it till like 3 days before it was due. And I looked at my husband. I said, I'm never gonna read this book. Somebody's gonna have to buy it for me. Or I'm going to have to buy it. So that's why that one's on my list. Because I really want to read it. It's not like it's a bad book.
No, it's very interesting.
I just get it at the wrong time.
You really have to be in the mood, too, to read it, because it's pretty scientific.
Yes. It's very interesting, though. Another book I want is called 8 Great Smarts, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Intelligences by Kathy Coe and John Stonestreet. And I've listened to a talk by this lady, and she's just very helpful when it comes to, like, raising kids, or maybe you are a teacher or something. It's just very helpful. And so this 8 Great Smarts, like, I think maybe we've all heard of, like, the different types of intelligences. Her intelligences are not what you're thinking. And I've heard her do a talk on this, and it's very, very helpful. And so, yeah, I really want this book. So if I don't get it for Christmas, I'll probably just buy it for myself, because I think it would be helpful.
Here's the big one, guys. The Raimi Nightingale 3-book collection by Kate DiCamillo. The price has dropped.
Ooh, has it?
23%.
How much is it right now? All of you family that are listening.
So originally it was like over $50, and now it's dropped down to $42.49. But might not stay that way, because I've had a few things in my cart lately that have jumped price like within an hour. Yeah. So anyway, I really want that. And again, if I don't get it for Christmas, I might just buy it for myself. It's expensive, though.
Mandy, do you have any books or bookish items?
I do. I have a lot of baking books on there. A lot of baking books from Paul Hollywood, because I've gotten into the Great British Baking Show.
Delightful.
And if you ever listen to this, Paul, I love you. I also have, what did I want to point out? Oh, there's another novel in the Train to Impossible Places series. And I can't wait to love and hate it.
Right. Maybe there'll be more magic in that one.
Exactly. You know, you can always try again. Yep. I also have the His Dark Materials series on here, which has now been made into a TV show with what's-his-face? James McAvoy. That's who it is. And also Lin-Manuel Miranda is in it. And some other people. Anywho, but it's the one that has the Golden Compass book in it, which was already made into a movie, but it sucked apparently. I also have on my list, and this has been on my list for years. So if anyone out here,
I'm going to write it down,
can find this for me, because this is the issue. The issue is A, finding it. And B, finding it for a price that isn't ridiculous, is because like they're no book? Longer making it.
Are you okay with a used copy?
Yes.
Okay. Half price books.
No, they'll you're not going to be. You. No, they won't.
You go in there, you say, I'm looking for this.
It's the Barnes and Noble, whatever, special edition, Chronicles of Narnia.
The whole set?
Yes. And the cover is the most beautiful thing in the world. And you know why I'm so much after this? A, because I love Chronicles of Narnia. And B, I was at Barnes & Noble back when they had it, and I was going to buy it. And then I was like, meh, no, maybe another time.
Now look what's happened.
And now they don't make it
anymore.
And here I am.
I'm disappointed for you.
Thank you. So every now and then I look it up on the internet and look at it.
Have you read all of those books?
I have.
Okay. I just wanted to check.
I actually read those books with our dad. Him and I was passing them down to him as I was going.
Interesting, yes. And that's when you guys bought me, I think you guys all got together and bought me like the big.
Yes, the big book.
It's not a fancy one like that Barnes & Noble one, but I do have all the books
maybe
in one.
Maybe half-price books will find a pair of them for us.
But yeah, I read them because I was just like, the movie came out and I was just like, I don't understand why everyone's so fascinated by this lamppost. And you and Dad were just like, you got to read the books.
Because you do. Especially because when that movie came out, if you had, it wasn't based off the book where it would have explained that.
Yeah, the magician's nephew explains the lamppost.
So it was just easier to send
you gotta
you to the
read
book.
The books. So I did. And I've read them
and
all
now
too.
You know.
I really like
You're
those
in
books.
On the secret.
Those books are some of my most beloved books of all time. And they I read them I read them all like at Christmas time. Like I didn't read them all in one Christmas, but it just seemed like I would pick up the next one the next Christmas. They're just a nice Christmas time read.
They are. They're up there at Christmas with
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I hate to put them together.
No, but it's just certain books give you a certain type of a feeling. I think it has that Christmas magic to it. You know, I mean, Father Christmas shows up in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Right. So there you go.
That's right.
Christmas. All right. Leah, are you done, Mandy? Do you have more on your list?
I mean, I do have more on my list, but I'm done. Feel There's free. A few Stephen Kings, you know,
yes.
But we expect that from me.
All right, Leah, tell us.
All right, I'll start with, we didn't get as much listener feedback, which guys, I mean, this is your chance. Get your wishes out there.
Yeah, let the people know.
Who knows what'll happen. Anyway, so.
It's still up there. You can go to our pages.
That's true.
Comment under there. Tag your friends.
Right? Tag your friends so they'll know what you
There's
want.
No giveaway, but.
the gifts will come.
Yes.
It could be a roundabout giveaway.
So SR Ellison responded to our Instagram stories and said, any books with two exclamation points. So
I get that. I mean, I'm kind of there. Srellison.
Any
Sorry,
books.
Sorry, Srellison says. Mandy. So for my wish list, the only thing I had per se on that list would be Macmillan Publishers has a collector's library, and they make these really pretty pocket-sized books. Usually they're different classics, but they have a collection, the Jane Austen collection, and these books are just adorable. Their bindings are cloth, and the pages are that, like, I don't know if there's a special name for it, but the pages just feel special. It
you
just
know,
says high quality paper.
I understand.
High quality paper. No, I'm right there with you.
It feels like you're having a special moment, you know? Mm-hmm. So I have one that's the TV show Dorels in Corfu. I have the book that is based on, and it's so good. And I'm just like lingering through it. I probably won't finish it for another 3 years. It's not even that long.
It's one you don't want to end.
I don't want it to end. So I'll just pick it up every once in a while and read a little bit. And I always laugh out loud. And then I put it down and move on to something else.
Do you have like a precious little box for it? Does it glow when you open it?
Yes.
Do they sell a Little Women?
I believe so. Because
I've been looking for a special Little Women.
You can go to their website, Macmillan Publishers, and they've got quite a few. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did have it.
And you say these are pocket size?
Mm-hmm. We can take a picture of it, post it. But
guys, I could start a new line of my library. Could have one in my backpack at all times.
That's why I like this.
I mean, I could anyway, but it's heavy.
Yeah. So the other thing that I would like that's not on any list anywhere, but these new book bands that have like the charms on them that go with. So it's a bookmark, but it's like an elastic band that you put around the book and the page that you're on. And then usually there's a charm that's from.
I think I know what you're talking about.
From books, you know, they're bookish.
Oh, yeah. Charms.
I think they're really cute. So the last thing I will mention, this is for everyone, Books of Wonder in New York, which is one of Team Friendship's favorite bookstores. They have to move locations, and it's very expensive to do this, as one might guess, in New York City. So they are auctioning off a lot of their very special bookish items. Something that's already sold was a signed first edition Harry Potter Prisoner of Azkaban that sold for $1,800.
Which we probably saw that.
We
they
saw
had like
a lot
the,
of it.
The glass case with all of those.
I probably
in
have
it.
A
and
picture.
Honestly, some of these, if you're buying them for a book lover or you are a book lover, the prices are surprisingly low. So it's an auction. You do bid on it, but they also have buy now prices. So there's an autograph series of unfortunate events that's $85.
Ooh.
That's a buy now price.
I would take that as a gift.
The girl who drank,
I really like those books.
The Girl Who Drank the Moon, which is now a Newbery winning book.
That one is really up to
$500 now.
Wow. Well, good for them. That's impressive.
Yeah. There's a Polar Express that's signed that's about $500 right now. Aww. So these prices are higher. I'm trying to find some of the ones that I thought, wow, I would buy that. Oh, there's an Eric Carle book, Panda Bear, and it's $125. Which that's kind of priceless. There's a signed Wrinkle in Time, for $175 is the bid on it right now.
Wow.
So there some first editions of Harry Potter that are not signed, but they're first editions. And they're $50, which
I don't think that's bad.
I felt like it was not that bad.
No, it's not bad at all. We'll take the lot.
And there's so much. I mean, they have paintings and books and lots of different things. So if you
and you're helping out a good cause, they need to move locations.
And honestly,
do they have a? Can you just donate to them if you want?
I think so. I believe they had a GoFundMe.
I'm not trying to plug or anything. No, but we really love.
But
them.
It's great. And honestly, if you ever want a good gift for someone, and you know that a living author has written a book that someone you loves. That didn't come out right.
Love.
If you want to get a gift for someone and it's a book by a living author, more than likely you can find a signed copy from Books of Wonder.
And you,
if
can it's you don't have to live in New York City. No, you can order online.
And it's, I mean, you have to pay shipping, but the signed copy doesn't cost any more than a non-signed copy. So, and it's a independently owned bookstore, which I think is always worth supporting. So yeah, check that out. If you head to Books of Wonder's page, and we can put a link, goes to their auction or just shop from them. They also sell those book band things I was talking about.
Book bands.
So you can get her book band and her book.
And check out the auction while you're there.
Pick out something special for Leah.
All right, our next question was there anything different about your reading life this year?
I think I've read more this year. Even in the previous years that we've been doing this, there were plenty of Newberries that I didn't finish.
I do feel like you finished a lot of them this year.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't one that I didn't finish. I think there were a couple times where I hadn't totally finished by the time we recorded, but I did end up finishing them. That's what this podcast has done for me. And I'm just so thankful.
We'll have a brief testimonial.
this podcast and the wrath of Lauren when I show up having not read. So, no, seriously, there have been times where I have like had to work that day and I haven't been finished with the book. And like every single break, I'm out there like, she's going to kill me.
Whatever it takes.
I would never kill you, Mandy.
Tell her that. This is what's keeping her going.
But it's nice. It's nice because, like, I have this thing where I want to read, but, like, I just don't. And so it's nice to have something that, quote-unquote, forces me. Yep.
Yeah, I get that.
Or maybe motivates. That's a better word. Ruthie says, this summer I tried to set aside time to sit in the sun and read a few times a week. I caught up on Team Friendship book recommendations. Kate DiCamillo books, Penderwick's and Vanderbeekers were my faves. All good ones.
She actually came upon the Penderwick's by accident because she was thinking it was the Vanderbeekers.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
But they're both amazing series, so you can't lose. It was just funny.
That's so her.
So I think my reading life this year was more varied. I think mainly that's because of where Lauren and I are part of a book share where you just come and talk about whatever book you're reading. So we don't all read the same book. We come with whatever books we've been reading and we talk about them. And so I've heard from readers that I trust that they're reading a certain book and they've enjoyed it. And so it's not something I would pick up because they've said it's good. I pick it up. And I think that has definitely branched out my reading life. Also, because of this podcast, there's been several times where we've asked for recommendations and I've taken some of those recommendations and they've been, I think that actually the sleep book that you were talking about came from someone commenting on our Instagram.
Yeah.
So those two things. Mm-hmm. I take a lot of recommendations from actual people I know or book podcasts.
Yeah.
Not to plug for us, but I mean, I listen to other book podcasts too.
Well, and you are listeners.
Yeah. So thank you, listeners, for being a part of my reading life this year. Samantha says, so much romance. But I also read a ton of YA with my daughter this year too, which was an unexpected trend for me.
So I feel like I've read more like books for grown-ups.
Aww, look at you.
I feel like in the past I tend to stick with middle grade.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, again, being a sensitive soul, I know, like, even if they're talking about hard subjects, they're going to, you know, kind of give me a hug while we're reading about it and we're going to be okay together, you know. But yeah, like you said, Leah, because of the, I think really mainly because of the Bookshare that we're a part of, I've been reading more books that I wouldn't have picked up.
Yeah.
Because I'm hearing from people who are my friends and I'm like, well, they liked it. Maybe I'll like it. And most of the time I have, I've really liked.
And usually we can ask follow-up questions too. Like if something sounds interesting, you can find out if it will be safe for a sensitive reader.
Right. Yeah.
So you have a little bit more feedback rather than just reading it on Goodreads.
Yeah, for sure. And so kind of along with that, Mrs. Vroe on Instagram says, definitely read a wider range of genres this year because I have the best ladies in Bookshare. My TBR list grew exponentially. And Mrs. Vroe is the leader of our Bookshare. She is the one who started this group and hosts it at her house. So it's just, I don't know, it's just been a lot of fun and one of my favorite things that I've been a part of this year in my reading life. Reading in the Middle Grade says, it was by far my best reading year. I went to 2 nerd camps, wrote a post on graphic novels for at Nerdy Book Club, and met some of my book heroes and favorite authors. I love that. I love it when we started doing stuff like that about a year ago. We just found out when authors were coming to bookstores kind of near us, and we just said, we're going to do this. We're going to go and meet these authors. And it's been fun. It's fun when you just kind of branch out and go on adventures.
And you always end up there with other book people,
which
is
always a good place to be.
It's been so fun. A new adventure that led us on new adventures.
We had a couple other responses to this. So Kathy messaged us on our Instagram story and said that she switched mostly to audiobooks this year. Hashtag mom life. And like we've already said, that counts.
Yes.
And then Srelison said that she started school. When she started school, she couldn't read as much, which I remember those days. Mm-hmm. You don't get to choose as much. You still are probably reading as much. It's just not things that you can choose.
Yeah.
It's what you're being told to read, which is fine. It's good. It's good to branch out and read other things.
I just miss those days.
All right. For our last topic, we asked you guys to ask us anything.
Yes.
Could be anything. So go for it, Leah.
Right. Ruthie asked us, when are you going to have another meet and greet? So some of our listeners probably remember we had a meet and greet in the fall, I think. Was it fall or summer?
I think it was the beginning of summer.
Wow, it's been so long.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. We had a few people there from just the local area, which obviously is what would happen. So yeah, I think we would love to do that again. If you would like to give us some feedback on that or suggestions, we'd love to meet up with you guys. It's a lot of fun to talk books, and it's kind of a mini book share because we all told about books that we were reading at the time or enjoyed reading, and if we've got any book dilemmas or questions, then we were able to talk about those, and it was just a lot of fun. Very relaxed.
A lot of fun.
Very good.
Probably after the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
We're not doing it right now. Now it's crazy.
Sarah says, what are some Christmas-themed Newbery books? So, Sarah, to my knowledge, there are not any Christmas-themed Newbery books. However, there are several Newbery books that either have like a chapter on Christmas or are set kind of around Christmas. So of the ones that we've read, and I didn't ask you guys the ones that, because sometimes we all read different ones, so let me know if any of the books you guys have read on your own took place or had Christmas at all in them. But I know Roller Skates by Ruth Sawyer. That's one of the ones I read that has a chapter on Christmas. And it's just, I think I said this when I talked about it. It was just a really, like, took me back to my childhood. Like, it was just really, like, I don't know. It was a really sweet chapter on Christmas. Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry has a Christmas scene. Bridge to Terabithia. There's a few chapters that go around Christmas. A Year Down Yonder, because it goes through all the months. Yeah, When You Reach Me, I think she talks about being on Christmas break.
Mm-hmm. I want a whole Christmas book, Newberries.
Mercy Suarez Changes Gears. They celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, they celebrate mm-hmm. Christmas and New Year's, I think.
Those are the ones I could think of. Did you guys have any others to add? No, that sounds
good to me.
And those are just the ones I've read. We haven't read all of them yet, so there might be others out there that have Christmas in them. But to my knowledge, there isn't like a Christmas book that's a Newbery winner. Something to check out, though, Sarah and others. There is a book called A Newbery Christmas.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's a collection of short stories about Christmas written by Newbery authors. And it was published back in 1991. So Madeline L'Engle has a short story in there. Beverly Cleary, E.L. Konigsberg. I can't think of them all off the top of my head. But I checked it out from the library last year and read a few of them. So that's a fun one if you like Newbery authors. They wrote some short stories. So check that out. Sarah also asks, what are your favorite Christmas books?
A Christmas Carol.
If she ever finishes riveting. It.
Yeah. So here's a few of my favorites.
Oh, a few.
So for picture books.
we have categorized.
You have to.
I'm going to open the envelope. The winner for picture books this year.
Best Christmas picture books. The nominees are... There's so many good Christmas books out there. So these are just a few of my favorites. Obviously, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Obviously. Yeah. Anyway, so The Nutcracker, but specifically it's the illustrator is Susan Jeffers. It's just a really pretty book. The Legend of the Candy Cane. That one's kind of classic. I read it to my students every year when I taught. And it talks about how, like, if you turn the candy cane upside down, it's J for Jesus. And it looks like a shepherd's hook, and the red and the white symbolize things. So anyway, very good.
Very good.
The Polar Express. That one's good. One of my favorites is called Snowman at Christmas. And this is kind of like, I guess, a series of books. So there's Snowman at Night, which might have been the first one. And it's this little boy who's like, oh, I wonder what snowmen do at night. And so then it's written in a poem, and the illustrations are really pretty. So there's Snowman at Christmas, which is cute. And then there's also a snowman at summertime or something like that. I don't know. They're really cute. For like more middle grade, the Vanderbeekers of 141st Street takes place at Christmas time. Other ones I like are Little Women. Harry Potter, even though it's not like a Christmas book, Christmas happens in a lot of the books, especially the first one. And it's just, again, has that Christmas magic.
This time of year just makes me want to watch Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's very Christmas feeling. And then last year I read a book called Last Christmas in Paris.
That's what I was trying to think of. That one was really good.
Yeah, because it's written in that style of the letters.
Yes.
Reminded me of the Potato Peel Pie Society book. And it was actually, I was surprised that I ended up enjoying it. So, yeah. What about you, Leah?
So, those were all great. I don't think I could really think of any other kid ones. There was one that my mom would always read to me around Christmas time. It's called All Is Well. Mm. It's actually by Frank Peretti, which normally he doesn't write children's books, but
yeah.
It's really cute. It's hard to find because I think it's out of print, but it's just really sweet about this little girl learning about the true meaning of Christmas, which was delightful. I really like how Anne Voskamp writes, and she has an adult book called The Greatest Gift, which is just a daily Christmas devotional. Mm. So for those adults out there, she writes very poetically. So it's not for everyone, but I really enjoy her stuff. And then she has a family version, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift, which looks really good.
Mm. I forgot to mention one. Sorry. Wow. I have it right here sitting here. It's called Great Joy, and it's actually by Kate DiCamillo.
And I didn't even know this was one of her books. I was at the library last week. We go to the library once a week, and we have some friends that come too. And so my friend came over to me and she said, "Hey, I found this. There's two of them. I'm taking one and you can have the other." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know Kate really DeCamillo had a Christmas." And so I read it to my daughter the other night, and it's a really, really sweet story. So check it out. It's called Great Joy by Kate DeCamillo.
I actually just saw that. So I knew she had it, but I've never seen it in person. And I was at Half Price Books, and they have a few copies there. And so I read through it, and it's one of those stories that you might struggle like getting to the end.
You might start crying, without crying when you're reading it. And I was just, it's so sweet.
Yes.
For sure. And of course it is. It's Kate DeCamillo.
Kate. We love her. What is something funny or embarrassing that has happened during recording? And if Lauren is up for it, I feel like this one would be better answered with some recording.
We just constantly mess up.
Are you thinking of something specifically?
Just like a blooper reel?
I have something specific.
Oh, yeah. I'm do you?
But this was like toward the beginning of when we started our podcast journey. And it was back when we were still like doing it over Skype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's our episode on The Tale of Despero.
Oh, no.
And it was at the end of the episode. And Leah's turn to pick the next book. And so the next book was A Bridge to Terabithia. So we're talking about Katherine Patterson and like all the books that she's done and which, you know, she's had several Newbery winners. And so Leah's going on and on and on about And of course, like, I think me and Mandy were being weird, and like, we all seemed to take turns with being weird, and so it was me and Mandy's turn, and Leah was trying to, like, keep everything together. But it was so funny because, like, Leah had talked about, like, oh, like, she's won other Newbery medals, Jacob Have I Loved is one of them. There was also one that didn't get the medal, but I won the honor, the Great Gilly Hopkins. Yes. And all of a sudden, Mandy she interrupts even, I think. And she says, guys, she's won other Newbery awards as well. Amelia, I think we just pause and we're like, yeah, we've been talking about it. And I think Mandy's like, no. The Great Gilly Hopkins? Like, have you guys heard of that? And like, we were both just like, yeah, we literally just said that. Like, I don't. And I think it was just partially because we weren't in the same room together. Yes. And like, I think she was like doing her own like research and not listening.
I had got up.
Oh, it was so funny. Yes. I go back and listen to episodes just to see how far we've come.
And we've that come one far.
Makes me laugh out loud every time. I literally laugh out loud every time.
So funny. Yeah. Most of our other funny and embarrassing moments get cut out or possibly added at the end.
Yeah. Usually I add them at the end, or sometimes they're just too inappropriate. Yeah,
we have a vault
to keep in.
Usually we just crack each other up, and so you have to cut that out because no one needs to hear that.
I can think of are just every time where we
get the giggles,
where we're trying to keep talking and someone looks at someone else and we just lose
a lot of
it
eye contact.
Yeah,
that
now that we're in the same room,
it's dangerous.
The other thing I can think of was, remember back then, like, I think it was like the cord to my microphone was like messed up, and so every once in a while,
the voice was like this.
Yes. Know it because I couldn't hear myself, and you guys were like, "Lauren, your microphone is messing up again."
Are you trying to kidnap one
of us? I'd have to like unplug it and plug it back in. There was one episode where I don't think it got caught, or I don't know if you guys just were like, "Oh, no, she'll figure it out." I didn't realize it till I got into the editing cave, and I was like, "Oh no!" Like, it was like a lot of the episode. So thankfully, I was able to just speed up the audio, and then it like fixed it.
It was like slowed down and really low. Like, you were trying to disguise your voice.
Sound like a man, yeah.
I think that was the time where we didn't hear it on our end.
Yeah, it was weird, yeah.
It's really funny.
So, yeah.
Good times. Well, I think our last Ask Us Anything question was from Emily, who asked, what do you all do to get out of a reading rut?
I go and buy 10 books.
Hmm. 10?
Like the number is important.
No.
You have to buy 10.
Well, it gives yourself options, right? Because, like, what if you start one?
I have a decision to make right now if I should, like, build a thing around this. Yes.
Mandy's.
The number 10 is important.
To get out of reading.
Exactly 10.
Purchase 10 books. No more. No less.
I'm not the one to answer this question because I've been in a rut for, like, 20 years, so.
Hmm. Well, I feel like, Lauren, if you answer, it's probably going to be the same thing that I would say, so. What would your answer be?
Oh, I'm scared now. What if it's not the same?
If it's not, I will mock you.
She will have to categorize it.
It'll be good.
So usually I reach out to friends that I trust and I say, what is a book?
But we're not talking about when you're like emotionally distraught.
No, but for real, usually I reach out to friends that I trust or online and I say, I'm in a reading rut. I need a book that is going to suck me in from page one. And usually they're, most of the time they're fluff reads. Like,
hey, whatever it takes.
That get me back in because I just, I need two things. I need a book that sucks me in from page one and I need a book that I can finish quickly so I can feel successful again. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those are the two things I need. So I usually reach out to someone that I trust and say, hey, what's a book you've read recently or in the past year that you thought was super good and you got through really fast? And then I go read that book and it gets me out of my rut. So the last book I read that was like that was Letters to the Lost by Brigid Kemmerer. And before that, it was A Curse So Dark and Lonely by Brigid Kemmerer. So I think she just might be my go-to author when I'm in a rut. Because they're YA, so they're lighter.
Yep.
But she just has that really that way of writing where it just sucks you in.
Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah. So I guess if you're not into YA, that wouldn't be your answer.
You're going to be in the rut forever.
Yeah. But I guess I just I would say to generalize it, maybe think of some things that you like in books. Like write those characteristics down. Like, you know, for me, I have those two things. Like I need it to suck me in and I need it to be a quick read. But maybe for someone else, it's something different. You know what I mean? And so have in mind what you want and then reach out to friends that you trust and say, this is what I'm looking for. Give me a book like that.
I've also found, yes, I agree with everything you just said. For me, I think it's more middle grade, but it needs to be somewhat lighter. Middle grade can be heavy.
It can be.
Because usually they're trying to like teach a really important life lesson, which I'm all about. But sometimes I just need something easy to read. That's not going to make me feel really sad about the state of the world. But, the other thing I found that actually if a book is really popular with a wide audience, usually that book can suck me in.
Okay.
For instance, Children of Blood and Bone.
Yeah.
Not something I would have picked up, but a lot of people liked it. So I figured if that many people are interested in it, maybe it'll have something for me. And I really liked that book.
That was YA too. Mm-hmm.
It was YA.
Yeah.
The other one.
I'm telling you, man, everyone needs their Twilight.
I think you do. It's I really do.
But the other one that really sucked me in was Maybe You Should Talk to Someone.
Yes.
Just really well written. It was audio. I did audiobook, so I would get home and I would just sit in my car for another few minutes to finish wherever. Good. Normally, I could just turn it off and restart it later.
Yeah,
but that one I just needed to know more, which was wonderful. But also, yeah, I would say YA or I've tried to do that with romance, but we've already discussed how that doesn't work for me. But I think for some people, that's what they do if they can't keep going, then they have some sort of fluff read that they'll go back to.
All right, guys. our next book, which we've already announced this, so this isn't a surprise if you've listened to our last episode. Our next book is Holes by Lewis Sacker, winner of the 1999 Newbery Medal. Anyway, we were supposed to read it in November or October. I don't even remember when
it
was.
We were supposed to read it way back when, and then you guys went off to Japan.
Yeah, we went to Japan, and then November was the one of the worst months of our lives. So that happened, and now it's Christmas.
Not even going to talk about it, because we'll stop.
So, yeah, so we're going to do that in January, okay, guys?
Yeah, so maybe. We'll think about it. Yeah, maybe February. I mean,
we'll come back when we come back. So if you've already read it, awesome.
You'll hear from us. You know where to find us.
Shoot us an email. Let us know your thoughts. Well, ladies, should we let the people know how to get in touch with us?
Yes, we should. You can email us, teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at Team Friendship Podcast.
We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Team Friendship Podcast.
We're also on Twitter at @3FriendsPodcast.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
You can find me on Instagram at JediReader1138.
You can find me on Instagram at RedheadedReader.
I am also on Instagram at MandyMalayFauxReader.
Well, friends, we'll see you all on another time.
And remember, friends, no two persons ever read the same book, ever.
Podcast or yeah, something.
Because
really
the
good.
Book is written documentary style. I said that right. Yes. I have problems with documentary.
I'm so glad we came back to that.
And the one family had, I mean, they both have multiple kids, I think. Except the one, see, I'm already like doing a really bad job at this. Anyway, I'm probably going to cut that out.
No, you should keep it. I think I put this in my Goodreads review, too.
Did you?
Let's call back to that. I was ill when I read this book, and so I was, like, on cold medicine and stuff. So I don't know if that affected, like, how I loved it and hated it.
You could have made your own magic being on cold medicine.
I could have. If I would have upped the dose, but I didn't. Anywho.
I'm cutting that out.
Why?
I know. I'm cutting Mandy out.
Why are you cutting
me
out?
She's like laughing hysterically.
Wow, I cannot read. Sorry, everyone.
I'll cut that out.
Yeah, I'm cutting that out. I'll send it to you.